You know, in this world that we live in, we often seek spiritual full edification from slogans. I hear slogans all the time. Most slogans are shorthand for a deeper insight. Now, when our faith needs a jump start, we can recite a slogan and we just kind of keep on going. One of these slogans is, "Life is hard, but God's good." Life is hard, but God is good. The deeper insight is that things will not always go well for us just because we are Christians. Yet God gives us the resources to cope. You see, sometimes you and I need to be careful with our slogans, though. When we say to ourselves, "Let go and let God," and that's one I hear a lot lately, "Let go and let God," we might mean that our anxiety can often block us from seeing how God is active in a problem. In other words, we kind of look over things. If we are not very careful, though, we might become too passive in our attempts to let God and not do for ourselves what we know that we need to do. Sometimes God gives us the opportunity to do those things, and sometimes when we let go of it, we're not doing what God wants us to do. One slogan with which we need to be careful, and I hear this one more than that one, is "Everything happens for a reason." Surely it is true, yes, that God sees meaning in things that seem senseless to you and I. We have all known situations that looked bad at first, like broken relationships that have turned out better than we ever thought that they could be. What we considered a deep grief has led to a blessing. That may be the deeper insight behind the slogan, "Everything happens for a reason." Still, you and I need to be careful with this slogan because it can lead us astray. When the disciples see the blind man in today's gospel lesson from John, they seem to assume that his condition happened for a reason. You know, this world we live in, we like a reason. What's the reason behind it? Why did it happen? And you know, sometimes there's not an answer. They asked Jesus whose sin lay behind the blindness, his own or his parents. Now, the narrator tells us that he was blind from birth. But perhaps the disciples did not know this. We don't know. How could someone sin before birth? We also have to wonder if they asked the question loudly enough that the blind man heard them. You know, sometimes we talk in the background and people can overhear what we're saying about them or a situation. Dr. Kathy Black is a professor at Claremont School of Theology, and she knows that some people say hurtful things loudly enough for others to hear them. As a young girl, Kathy swam in a polluted lake that left her with neurological damage. She occasionally experiences episodes similar to that of epileptic seizures. And during one of these episodes, she heard a woman remark, "There but for the grace of God go I." Now, how many of y'all have said that? I've probably said that myself. "There but for the grace of God, go I." We say that to remind ourselves to be grateful, but do we realize that we imply that the person who faces that physical challenge does not have God's grace? We need to be careful. You see, whatever the woman intended by that remark that day, Kathy experienced it as condescending. It was something against her. Again, you and I need to be careful. Because you see, God has shown abundant grace to Dr. Kathy Black. Because she's written many, many books, she's a great professor, she's a great preacher, she's a great orator, and she's written several books. God has blessed her life. But the question today of the disciples shows us the danger of using the slogan, "Everything happens for a reason." The slogan turns our attention backward, trying to find the reason behind some painful event. And sometimes, you know, we don't need to know. Sometimes that's our first thing is, you know, well, what happened? Who did something wrong? I bet they were drinking. I bet they were out partying. I bet there was drugs involved. I bet. You know, and then they start, if they can't find anything, then they go back and say, well, you know, them parents are theirs. What do you expect? Sometimes you hear those things and people don't understand, and they're saying, well, look what you're doing. You're talking about somebody else. You're wanting a reason. You're trying to justify things. You're trying to put it in some kind of sense for yourself, but in essence, you're going to hurt somebody. You see, the slogan turns back to you and me, trying to reason some painful event, and we can't. But God may have a purpose in some of the struggles that we face, but we can really say God has a reason for everything that happens. When a child dies tragically, can we assume God had a reason? How much hurt has been caused by someone saying to a grieving parent, it was God's will? When we don't know, when you and I do not know God's will in every situation, we do not. Sometimes we're trying to give comfort, we're trying to be there, but sometimes, you know, we don't have to say a whole lot. You know, people are not wanting answers lots of times. All they're wanting is someone to be there, someone to sit with them, someone to hold their hand, someone to hug their neck, someone just to be there with them. Sometimes they do ask hard questions. And sometimes you just say, well, I don't know. Because we don't always know. You see, nothing in Scripture suggests that God wills a young child full of potential to die. When we start digging around trying to find God's reasons for something, we can lead ourselves astray. We can put ourselves down paths that we don't need to go. We can begin to assume that something bad is a punishment for sin. We even run the risk of turning God into a monster that would bring a hurricane or an earthquake or the death of a child just for a reason. You see, Jesus answers the disciples' question by focusing them on how God will respond. On how God will respond to it. He says to them in verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Jesus turns our attention away from trying to find the reason behind a tragedy to trying to see how God is working in it, how God is working in that tragedy. Where does God heal? Where does God reconcile? Where does God comfort? Where does God confront? Where does God open up? Where does God strengthen? And where does God renew? You see, the man's blindness is a manifestation of darkness that we find in everything throughout creation. His blindness is where we are when we can't see for ourselves, because we can truly see physically, but you know, we can't see spiritually. When we think we know, that's exactly what this is all about. It's the darkness that we find in all of creation within what God has created that you and I just can't sometimes, as the old saying goes, that we can't see the forest for the trees because we're focused on the wrong thing. You see, Jesus appeared as the light to dispel that darkness. John does not spend much time explaining why we experience darkness or where it comes from. It just says it was. And in the opening of the words here in chapter 9, we simply read these words, light shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. But the darkness did not understand it. That was 1:5. Darkness did not understand it. Have you ever thought about darkness being understood and darkness understanding light and light understanding darkness? John does not say anything about reason for the darkness, only that the light shines through it. The light shines through it. John just assumes that everyone knows the darkness is there. The darkness is there. In this narrative story today in John's Gospel, Jesus frees the man from the darkness when Jesus spits upon the ground, makes the mud, spreads it on the man's eyes. Jesus heals that man, and the darkness loses yet one more battle. What we tend to call the reason behind some of the struggles in our lives, we should see as examples of the darkness. The battle between darkness and light weaves throughout the Gospel of John. You see, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, symbolizing the darkness of doubt. He came to him to ask a question, but he was not sure enough of himself, and he came in darkness and doubt. In John 13:30, when Judas leaves to betray Jesus, John simply says, "It was night." Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb early after the crucifixion, while guess what? It is still dark in the morning, symbolizing her unbelief. You see, God does not have a reason behind the pain in our lives. They are examples of the darkness in all of creation. Jesus is the light, though, that scatters the darkness. He breaks it up, He scatters, He moves it around, because His light has come into our life and our world. When we face some form of the darkness in our lives, let us hold on to the words of our Lord. We may not find a reason behind something that happens to us. We should not search for an undisclosed sin for which God has sent a punishment. We should rejoice that God's work could be revealed in our situation. You see, God might teach us wisdom or strengthen our faith. God might confront our apathy, or He might tear down our stubbornness. God might give us the grace to sustain our spirits. And God might heal us to take away the pain that we feel. In all of those ways, God's light shines in the darkness. Let us open our eyes, not only this day, but every day, to see the light. Because the light shone in the darkness. And guess what? The darkness could not overtake it. Because when the light was shone bright, the darkness scattered. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word this day. We thank You for blessing us and loving us. We thank You, Lord, for Your Son, our Savior. We thank You that You put people in our path to challenge us. We thank You, Lord, that You put people in our path to nourish us. Lord, this day, those challenges and those nourishments are always there. Sometimes we question, we wonder, we hope, we fear. But Lord, this day let us look past all that darkness and let us find the true light, the light that comes by knowing You. Be with us now.